Good morning. Welcome to Faith Community United Methodist Church. It's good to be with you on this fourth Sunday of Lent. I think that's correct. If not, you can correct me later. Anyway, we're in the midst of Lent. We're over halfway. We're ready to go down the downslide to our celebration of Easter. Is why we gather, because every Sunday is a little Easter. We know that why we gather together is because of the risen Lord. So let us get in our mindset that we are here to truly worship from our hearts this morning. Let's turn to our announcements. There are quite a few still on both sides of the sheet of paper that you have before you. Just a reminder, today is Coin Sunday, so if you need to be prepared for that, be ready for when the coins are retrieved. Mary Martha is meeting tomorrow, so make sure that if you're a part of that, you have that in your calendar to remind you tomorrow to be a part of that. Also wanted to mention that there are multiple things that are happening this Lenten season that we need to be mindful of. The VBS offering is happening, and that is in preparation for VBS in the summer. We have to be ready to support all the students, all the kids that come, and this is a way for us to make sure that we have all we need to support them during that week of time of VBS. Also, the Easter egg hunt that is at Shawnee Park, they have baskets that they distribute to the kids by different ways. I don't know exactly what it is, but they solicit for churches and other folks to put baskets together in order for them to have them for that event. We are collecting stuff to put some baskets together. So if you want to participate in that, please, there's a basket out front there for you to be able to put those items in it. Also, the Jackson Area Ministries, that's that time of year where we're collecting seeds, or you can always give a donation for that. And for those families who are going to have students in need of assistance for going to college or continuing in college, make sure you get those things within this next month. Also, I have some announcements that I have coming from folks. Judy, if you want to come up to share, we will allow you to do that. All the way up there. I could have gotten the handheld mic for you.
I'm here to remind you that this coming Saturday is our Five Wishes program. And this is a legal document, and it's kind of a living will that goes beyond into your personal, emotional, spiritual, and medical issues. So if the time comes that you're not able to make your decisions for your care, you can choose who you want to make those. You can choose what treatments you want and what treatments you definitely don't want. And that will save your family a lot of indecision. You know, when they try to guess what you want, and one thinks you want this and one thinks you want that, and it's so important that, you know, it just makes a tense time even more tense. It's this Saturday from 10 to 11, and then there's time afterwards for questions. We have refreshments. We would appreciate RSVPs, but they're not, you know, not required, but it helps us know to have the right amount of food and the right amount of chairs up there. The five wishes are, it includes what you want your loved ones to know and how you want people to treat you during the time when you're compromised, and how comfortable you want to be kept. Do you want to be alert? Do you want to be just in no pain, even if you're asleep? It's a legal document in 42 of the states, and those where it isn't a legal document, you just have to fill out an additional form. So it's being used in all across America, but also in about 33 other states. So it's a very good thing, and we would like you to come, and we can give you one, and you can fill it out at your leisure.
Thanks, Jude. Lynn?
Good Good morning. I actually have two announcements. The first one is today and next week in Junior Church, we are going to be doing Easter around the world. So if you are a child or a child at heart and you would like to know more about today is Easter in Germany, and there's a guy in a German hat in the congregation. hint, hint. He's going to be helping, and so is Elaine Hughes. So after the children's moment, we'll be going to Children's Church and learning about Easter in Germany. The second announcement has to do with our Seder experience. We have 39 people signed up. There's still room for you. We can take up to 75. This is not a dinner. It's an experience. It's going to last maybe a little over an hour.
Yeah,
give or take. And it's going to be March 28th. It starts at 6 o'clock. It's going to be in the fellowship hall. You do need to sign up just because there's food involved. We just need to know a count. So we hope to see you there. Thanks.
Thank you, Lynn. I encourage you to be a part of that. It is a way for us to be kind of educated on kind of what came before Christ, and in order for us to kind of connect how we celebrate and the way that the Jewish people celebrated the meal of Passover. So let's get our minds focused on our time of worship as we receive the prelude this morning.
Wasn't that wonderful? Let's have the call to worship, and if you can, stand, and we will do the call to worship as printed in the bulletin. We gather to share in our love of God. Lord, open our hearts and let us share your good news. We gather to share our witness to God's goodness. Lord, let our lives bear witness through service to your people. We gather to praise God, whose love is eternal. Lord, open our hearts to sing your praises. And we're going to sing Come Ye Poor and Needy, which is number 340 in the hymnal, and we're doing verses 1 through 3. Be seated, and if you would, please join me in the opening prayer as printed in our bulletin. Let us pray. Gracious God, lift up our hearts this day, for we long to see your salvation. Lift us up from darkness, that we may walk in the light of your love and grace. Create us anew as reflections of your light, who are called to be extensions of your grace. Encourage us in your worship today. Strengthen and clarify our call to share your goodness and grace. Amen. And it's time for the children's moments.
You and us, kid. It's all good.
Okay. This is going to... Oh, thank you, Micah. I appreciate that. We need some extra hands around here. I'm going to talk a little bit today about UMCOR. This is UMCOR Sunday. The offertory today
special
is going to
offering.
Special offering. I'm sorry. Is it going to go to UMCOR? In your bulletin, you have a special envelope, so that everything in here is going to go to UMCOR. Now, what in the world does UMCOR stand for?
Good question.
Does anybody have an idea? No, I didn't have an idea either. I had to look it up. Oh, there's somebody, the United Methodist Committee on Relief is what UMCOR stands for. And I heard a story once about UMCOR, and I'm going to share this with you and everybody else because I think it's kind of a neat story. I heard about a town that had some kind of a disaster. That's what UMCOR does. It goes into towns that have floods, fires, tornadoes, hurricanes, earthquakes, places like that. I don't know where this town was, but UMCOR was one of the programs that came and helped that town. Maybe Red Cross came, maybe others. But when things kind of got settled down, the others left. The other agencies left. But guess who stuck around? UMCOR. Yeah. And I thought that was kind of a neat thing. If we have some sort of a program that not only helps with disasters, but sticks around afterwards, that's the kind of a place that I would like to support. So now, we're going to go and do coins for missions. Now, these coins are going to go not to UMCOR, but to our local missions. But if you want to support UMCOR, this is the way to do it. Okay. We got two of you guys. Can you handle it yourself? Or do you need me to help? Yeah, you guys can handle it.
You got it. One side down the other.
Yeah.
You
oh, wait a second, guys. Here.
Oops, strike one.
There we go.
It's kind of quiet. There must be bills going in.
Yeah, it is kind of quiet.
That's good.
That is good, but I hear some rattling in the buckets, and that is a good thing. Yeah, paper money is okay, too.
Yeah.
I don't know what I would do without the Fleming guys. Boy, they are good helpers.
Different methods. They have different methods.
Yeah. However they get the job done, that's okay.
Right.
Just get the job done. We're going to put it up here.
Let's put them up on.
Let's put them up here. Thank you so much.
Getting heavy.
You have enough muscles to carry those buckets?
Yeah. You got it. Go ahead.
That's
and place
good.
Them up on the altar.
Yeah. Thank you very
Thank
much.
Thank you. Perfect.
Okay. Let's say a quick prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be helpful to others that need a little extra help. We thank you for the blessings that we have today. In Jesus' name, amen. And you guys get to... You're welcome. Thank you.
Join in the prayer hymn, "I Want to Walk as a Child of the Light," verses 1 through 3 of number 206. As we go into our time of prayer, I wanted to begin our time with a prayer that our bishop had written in preparation for leading up to our annual conference at the end of May, the 1st of June. So I want to begin with that, and then I will share a little more. Let us pray. Gracious God, we humbly acknowledge that you are the source of our life. We confess we are often tempted to try being your church without your love, without your power. Forgive us. Grant to us, graceful God, to put all our hope and confidence in you, for you are able. Almighty God, we know that you are able. At least we want to sense that in the depths of our heart. So Lord, that's what we're speaking about today, is our hearts and opening our hearts enough to truly love you as much as you love us. So Lord, speak to us, your church, so that we can truly be the church out of your love, out of your power. It is you that is able, not us on our own. So, Lord, when we try to take our own way, to take our own path, to follow our own vision without looking to You first, redirect us, O God. Speak to our hearts in a way that we have confidence and authority that comes from You, knowing that we truly are on Your path, the path to sharing the good news. The good news that the kingdom of God is near, that we are here in the midst of the new kingdom through Your Son, Jesus Christ. He gives us life, new life to live now and forever in this new kingdom. So Lord, awaken our hearts, awaken them so that they are truly loving hearts to the world. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Let us now share the prayer that Jesus told us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our lives have been changed by the love that has been poured out. It is through that love that we have an understanding that everything that we have, everything that we receive comes from God. And as a part of the church, we give back in order for us to be able to share the good news. Ushers, would you please wait upon us? Let us join together in the prayer of dedication. God of unwavering love, You have held nothing back in Your love for us, not even Your Son. How we marvel at that kind of love, and how we long to reflect a portion of that devotion back to You. As we dedicate our offerings to You, lead us away from our tendency to hold back and worry that there will not be enough. Help us to live as the people of love and abundance You have called us to be. In Christ we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Bells. Thank you for all your commitment that you have made to share your gifts with us. Thank you.
Yes, it's always wonderful. I love it when the bells play on Sunday. You do good. The scripture reading this morning is coming from Ephesians, the second chapter, verses 1 through 10. Saved from life, from sin to life. At one time, you were like a dead person because of the things you did wrong and your offenses against God. You used to live like people of this world. You followed the rule of a destructive spiritual power. This is the spirit of disobedience to God's will that is now at work in persons whose lives are characterized by disobedience. At one time, you were like those persons. All of you used to do whatever felt good and whatever you thought you wanted, so that you were children headed for punishment, just like everyone else. However, God is rich in mercy. He brought us to life with Christ while we were dead as a result of those things that we did wrong. He did this because of the great love that he has for us. You are saved by God's grace. And God raised us up and seated us in the heavens with Jesus Christ. God did this to show future generations the greatness of his grace by the goodness that God has shown us in Christ Jesus. You are saved by God's grace because of your faith. This salvation is God's gift. It is not something you possessed. It's not something you did that you can be proud of. Instead, we are God's accomplishment, created in Christ Jesus to do good things. God planned for these good things to be the way that we live our lives. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
This time I'll invite Suzanne up for sharing the message with us. I know over the years, this passage of Ephesians has meant a lot to my wife, and as it being something that she spent a lot of time with, she has been willing to share the message with us this morning.
Good morning. So over the past several weeks, Jeff has been taking us on a bit of a journey. We've gone from chaos to covenant, learning about the promise that God made to all of the universe through the story of Noah. A promise that he would not again destroy all of humanity and its brokenness. Next, we heard about God's covenant with Abraham and his descendants. This is the story of covenant to relationship, where God is making a way to be in relationship with us and offering us the choice to have a relationship with him. Finally, last week, we heard Jeff share from the Psalms a picture of David's relationship with God, a picture of relationship to intimacy, where fear decreases and the relationship with God grows much deeper and richer. This week, I'm sharing, as you've heard, from Ephesians 2, 1 through 10, and we've titled this message, Intimacy to Call. And asking the question, how do we go from humans in chaos to believers fully relying on God? Before we dive into this more, I just want you to think for a moment about different types of transformation. Caterpillars transform into butterflies. Tadpoles transform into frogs. Puppies become dogs, kittens become cats, babies become adults. In the movies, we often see, you know, typical people become superhumans through superpowers. We tend to love to watch shows. Jeff and I spend a lot of time watching HGTV. We like to see the transformation of a house happen, or maybe personal makeovers. All of these examples of transformation require one thing: change. Ephesians 2, 1 through 10 is a passage that talks about our change through transformation. It's a summary of sorts of the lessons we've been learning these past weeks. And our passage starts like this. At one time, you were like a dead person because of the things you did wrong and your offenses against God. You used to live like people in this world. You followed the rule of destructive spiritual power. This is the spirit of disobedience to God's will that is now at work in persons whose lives are characterized by disobedience. At one time, you were like those persons. All of you used to do whatever felt good and whatever you thought you wanted, so that you were children headed for punishment just like everyone else. Now, these words by Paul describe who we are when we're fully living in the world. We are dead, we are separated from God, and we are living in our selfish nature. Living in this selfish nature puts us in chaos. To go from humans in chaos to believers fully relying on God, we need to be able to recognize and willingly give up our selfish nature. Think about each of us as a child. Sure, as babies and toddlers, we can be pretty cute. And I have a really cute grandbaby I can show you a picture of if you want to see it. But as we all know, babies and children are not afraid to let us know when they have needs, particularly if they're hungry, or when they're not getting enough attention. In many ways, this does not really change as we get older, right? We just find new ways to get what we want, or we search for what we're longing for, and we keep doing things to do that. We live for ourselves, often unintentionally hurting others and ourselves as we do it. This unconscious or conscious selfishness is what creates the chaos. And we definitely get stuck in these patterns of behaviors that only increase the chaos in our lives. Luckily, God doesn't leave us there. Paul continues, "However, God is rich in mercy. He brought us to life with Christ while we were dead as a result of those things that we did. He did this because of his great love that he has for us. You are saved by God's grace. And God raised us up and seated us in the heavens with Christ Jesus. God did this to show future generations the greatness of his grace by the goodness that God has shown us in Christ Jesus." As we've learned in the past couple of weeks, God didn't leave us in chaos. God made a way for us to be made over, to be renovated, to be transformed. God didn't want us to stay in eternal separation and death. God wanted us to be able to fully know and experience his love and be released from our selfish prison. Paul is basically saying, to go from chaos to believers fully relying on God, spiritually alive, we need to embrace our new identity as a child and children of God. Do you hear this? Our identity is now restored as a true child of God, as a member of the family of God. And now we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And the last part points to our call, our purpose. as members of this family. As we embrace our identity as a child of God and are made new, we become a testimony to future generations of God's expansive and enormous grace. We'll talk a little bit more about that call in just a minute. First, make sure you get the significance of our identity as a beloved child of God. We aren't left on our own. We aren't abandoned. We aren't in this by ourselves. We don't have to do this on our own. We are fully loved and in Christ's family. This is where our relationship leads to true transformation. We make the choice to receive God's gracious and wonderful gift. We choose to accept God's love and enter into a relationship with Him. And because we make this choice, we can't stay where we are. We need to be made new. We need to be made over. We need to be transformed. Here's the last part of this text. You were saved by God's grace because of your faith. This salvation is God's gift. It's not something you possessed. It's not something you did that you can be proud of. Instead, we are God's accomplishment, created in Christ Jesus to do good things. God planned for these good things to be the way that we live our lives. This is the heart of the message for today, the message of intimacy to call. This is the metamorphosis of our transformation from chaos all the way to our call. And it is God that does it all. He planned it from the beginning. And it's His grace that makes a way for it. We are God's accomplishment because of God's love, because of God's plan to join us on earth as Jesus, God with us. Believe this and embrace this. Allow yourself to be changed by this. Our intimacy with God in Christ is our call. Our call is to live a life fully surrendered to the Holy Spirit so that we are glorifying God and pointing others to Him. I have an analogy I'd like to use to help you see what I'm sharing, you know, get an idea of what I'm sharing a little more clearly. It's a picture of the way God has spoken to me, and it's helped me to see it, so hopefully it will help you as well. I want you to consider the transformation, as we mentioned earlier, of the caterpillar into a butterfly. This caterpillar has the DNA of a butterfly from the very beginning. It instinctually does what it needs to do to survive. It goes in search of food. It needs to satisfy its hunger. We have the DNA of a fully developed believer in Christ, child of God. But we aren't always aware of it, and so we search in a variety of places to find ways to meet our needs and our longings. We don't always know what we're looking for. We just instinctively go in search of it, not realizing that God is the source of meeting all those needs. Instead, we look to our family of origin, our environment, our circumstances, our culture to meet those needs. And as we do, we start taking on patterns and behaviors that help us find what we think we are looking for. At some point, though, these patterns and behaviors won't help us find the belonging we truly desire. But we fear trying to change because it might bring pain or hurt or rejection. We truly are looking for it in all the wrong places. This is what keeps us locked in our prison of selfishness. Back to the caterpillar. As it eats, it grows, and it sheds its skin, so it can continue to grow. And eventually, the caterpillar changes into the chrysalis, where the real transformation begins. In this stage, the caterpillar literally disintegrates so it can become a butterfly. Figuratively speaking, we need to do the same thing. We need to take in the love of Christ and the guidance and power of the Holy Spirit so that we can learn to shed the patterns and behaviors that don't allow us to be the image of Christ that we are meant to be. We have to willingly allow God to change us, to stretch us. As we do, we set aside our selfishness, our own desires, our fears. We give away our control, our old habits, our perceptions, our jealousies, our views of success, our comparisons, our criticisms, our rules, our right ways, and we live transformed lives. As Jeff said last week, we need to reduce our fear, reduce our HPR, as he called it, our heart protection rating. We need to quit protecting ourselves from the things that can potentially hurt us and open ourselves to the vulnerability of being fully loved by God. At some point, that little butterfly has to break free from the chrysalis to fully live in the freedom of being a butterfly. Isn't that what we want? To break free of the way the world boxes us in and keeps us from only seeing ourselves through the world's eyes and not seeing ourselves as God sees us? Growing in intimacy with God gives us the ability to grow in intimacy with others too. It gives us the capacity to love God more, love ourselves more, and love each other more. True transformation won't happen unless we are completely willing to give up our outer shell of protection and allow ourselves to live in the vulnerable state of change. As we willingly submit to this change, we can hear how we belong to God. We can know who we are and whose we are. We will feel the fire of the Holy Spirit and the love of Christ within us. This is what it means in Ephesians 2:10, where it says, "Instead, we are God's accomplishment, created in Christ Jesus to do good things." God planned for these good things to be the way we live our lives. Now, there's an interesting fact I discovered about the butterfly in my little research about it. The studies have shown to try to find out if the butterfly remembers being a caterpillar. Now, the body of the caterpillar has been completely reorganized. So the studies have proven that there's the nervous system, where the memory part of the caterpillar comes from, is still intact when it becomes a butterfly. So this means that though it doesn't continue to behave like a caterpillar, it can still remember the experiences it learned when it was one. Thought that was fascinating. As we grow in intimacy with God, we remember our own experiences before the transformation begins and during. But we do not need to be defined by these experiences. They are a part of what shapes us, but they do not need to control us. We can remember being who we were before Christ, learning from our past, but we can now fully rely and live as the changing, maturing, transforming child of God. Now, if you hear nothing else that I have to say today, I want you to hear this piece. And this is the piece that spoke to me greatly in the past several years as I've been changing a lot. We fulfill our call from the power of a deep intimacy with God. We need this deep intimacy with Him so that we are living our lives out of that intimacy. It isn't going to come from anywhere else. If we don't invest the time and intention in a deep relationship with God, then we will always just be operating for ourselves, for others, even for God, but not from God. My own personal journey has been a lesson in understanding all of that I have shared with you today and more. I have often lived from a place of wanting my presence to matter in this world. I have tried to fit in and belong in various different ways. Sometimes that has created conflict with others as I've asserted myself. Of course, conflict and tension are exactly the things I fear and I try to avoid. I've served others from a place of wanting to help and bring peace to the world and to others. But as hard as I tried, I never felt like my presence really mattered. This was a message I repeated in my head. It was a playlist that wouldn't go away. I was serving and caring for others, for God, which isn't a bad thing in of itself. But I wasn't in serving and caring for others from God. I've had to learn this lesson over and over, and I'm sure I'm still going to be learning it because I even, had to get it in my head today as I stood before you. I was trying to live my purpose on my own, and I was trying to do it by myself. This has always left me exhausted, resentful, and unsatisfied. At times, I've just given up and retreated. It was easier to stay quiet, live my life in my own little bubble, and fall asleep to myself. This also included changing jobs, trying to do ways to fill my life with new things and new people. Maybe this would be the way I would fill the longings of my heart. Sometimes it included running from my past in fear of the pain that would come from truly facing it. Being vulnerable can hurt, but opening up to God and allowing the Holy Spirit to have access to our deepest parts, that can open up a fire within us. I have a long way to go yet. But I try through a variety of spiritual disciplines and activities to remember every single day that the only place I will truly find belonging and know that my presence matters is with God, my Abba, my Father. Every day we each need to remember this message from Ephesians. We will only spin our wheels to try to make things happen on our own. It can't be a transactional checkbox of trying to do the right thing, be the right way, or protect ourselves from others. We can't strive hard enough to do the right, we can't, or long enough or well enough to serve others and fulfill our call without an intimate relationship of knowing we belong to God. Our transformation from living in chaos to being believers fully relying in God begins with us being willing to recognize and give up our selfish nature, receive God's Christ gift in Christ, and embrace our new identity as a child of God. Living a daily life fully surrendered to the transforming work of the Holy Spirit and fulfill our call from the power of a deep intimacy with God. Amen.